This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us, counting it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing and a help to you. And I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow before you. Thank you for this day you've given us, this opportunity to be here on the radio, Lord, with these listeners. I pray, Father, the word of God would go out and find good ground. We thank you, Lord, that it's a precious seed. Lord, we ask you today, Father, Lord, that it just accomplish that whereunto you please. And God, I do pray that you'd bless once again, the listeners. I pray for the children's homes, the mission work, all the work we're engaged in. Lead us and guide us, Father. We won't know what to do unless you tell us. And so, Lord, we just ask you to have your will and your way in all things. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. Would like to ask you to continue to pray for us. As I said, pray for our children's homes. Pray for the mission work. If you would, please continue to remember our missionaries, those in Romania, Bulgaria, the Ukraine, and a lot of work is going on, in all three of those places. The war is going on in the Ukraine, but it seems like it's been a time that a door has been opened, maybe to folks that otherwise would have never received the gospel. So please continue to pray for them, as well as Romania. We've got a couple buildings that they're working on, trying to finish up. If you would remember the finances, we need God to really move in the midst of that, and probably need $5,000 or $6,000 raised to continue that work on. And then also one of the buildings that we use in Bulgaria for the Bible printing and things, and coat distribution and all that. We had a roof that was in bad shape. It actually fell in. They're working on getting it back, but there's a financial cost with that also. And so if you would, please remember these things. Pray, and the Lord will have his way in it. If you'd like to help in any of this, I'll give you a mailing address here later. And then after the broadcast, I'll repeat it again. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to just hear that you're praying for us, or as well as financial support for these things too. I appreciate the Lord has done a great work in these countries. Many thousands of people has got saved. Some's gone on home to be with the Lord, but ain't that good that they went to be with the Lord instead of going to hell? And we're so thankful for what he's done. Also, remember the Bible printing, the hymnals and songbooks, and as they go out, most of the missionaries go out to 6 to 8 meetings at church villages that they pass through a week, and going into new places, and we're just trusting the Lord to continue to do a big work there. But anyway, I want to take this time, give you our mailing addresses, ask you to write us this week if you would. You can write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. Or if you'd write us at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. So at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust you enjoy the message.
Music was about to sound. until you hear from me. I've got the keys to the kingdom. They belong to God. I've got the keys to the kingdom, and the world can't do me no harm.
Colossians, in the first chapter, and the 24th verse says, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. I want to talk to you tonight about this verse of scripture. Filling up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. But tonight, Jesus Christ, when he came into this world and when he died on the cross, he said it's finished. But he was talking about the plan of salvation. You know, you can't add a thing to the plan of God's salvation. It's all finished. Now, you don't have to worry about that end of it. But tonight, Jesus died on the cross. And when he died that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Then he arose the third day that you might have justification, that you might be justified. But neighbor, the Apostle Paul said that Jesus had some things left behind that wasn't finished. And that is that he had some afflictions left. That affliction is not sickness, as a lot of times I used to think it was. And I used to read that and think, well, I hear him talk about folks being afflicted. But I read in the book of James, and God said, if there's any afflicted, let him pray. And if there's any merry, let him sing songs. And if there's any sick, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And I thought, well, James, and now if that ain't all the same, why? It looks like I thought it was all the same, but it isn't. You see, affliction is just what I was talking about. This lady has got affliction. She's got a burden, something that's bothering her down in her heart and in her soul and in her mind. And she's got trouble and she's got problems. And that's what the Apostle Paul, he said, I now rejoice. Who now rejoice? He said, I'm rejoicing in my suffering. I'm rejoicing in the fact that I'm able to suffer for you, in that I might fill up the affliction, fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. In other words, Jesus died and he paid everything, he finished everything except my neighbor taking care of the burdens and the problems and the heartaches of men and women like you and I. And I'm glad that the Apostle Paul wrote this and said, I'm rejoicing in the fact it's suffering. In my body I have to suffer, but he said, I'm building up, or I'm here in the stead of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm taking over where Jesus left off. And brother, tonight, if you and I ever find out that we're here in this world not just to be saved, to keep from going to hell. A lot of folk got the idea, you know, that I just got saved so I wouldn't have to go to hell. Honey, that's just one thing you got saved for. Thus God, he didn't save you to keep you out of hell and only save you to take you to heaven, but he saved you that you might be able to do what the Apostle Paul said, that you might fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. In other words, when Jesus looked out yonder over Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicken under your wings that you would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The old apostle, my friend, came along and looked over the same situation. In other words, Paul saying that Jesus, when he went back to heaven, my friend still had some things that bothered him. He still got some things, neighbor. Listen tonight, I believe that every care and I believe that every burden that comes upon your heart is upon his too. I believe that Jesus is concerned about every one of us tonight and about every burden and about every problem. And I'm glad tonight that he is. And then the old Apostle Paul came into a position and into a place where he said, you know, I'm filling up that. He said, I'm suffering in my body just like Jesus did in his body. And he said, because of that, my suffering, he said, I rejoice in it. I'm glad that God's allowed me to suffer, that I might fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. Neighbor, I want to tell you tonight, it's not something that a lot of folks, like a lot of people out here, get up and talk about how awful it is to have to be a Christian and how hard it is to have to serve God. The only thing wrong
wrong with that crowd, they ain't serving God. Maybe you're trying to keep from it, brother. It's not hard to serve God, but it's a burden to keep from serving God. When you get born again, that's what he saved you for. The Bible tells me, by neighbor, that we have been made to be conformed into the image of the dear Son of God. And to be like Jesus in this world, neighbor, is to suffer for others. And yet Paul said to rejoice while you're doing it. I believe the Apostle Paul was happy. I believe, brother, when they was beating him in the back, and I believe when they was putting the stripes on his back, he could still shout because he's doing it for others. My brother, listen, Jesus Christ, I believe that he was happy. I believe that when Jesus hung yonder on Golgotha's hill, I believe our Savior, brother, done it willingly. And I believe that he's glad that he could. I believe, my friend, that Jesus Christ rejoiced in the fact that he is able to take my sins and your sins and carry them yonder to the old rugged cross. No, neighbor, tonight, how to be a Christian's not what a lot of folks say. A lot of people say, brother, you know, it's so hard to be a Christian. And I think I'll just give up, honey. The only thing is you need to give up. But you just need to give up and get in and let God have his way with you. And it's wonderful to be saved. And it's wonderful, my friend, to be able to carry on for the Lord. And to look out yonder as I've been able to see in the last little while. You know, I used to think, boy, and I did used to. I've been all along the way. I don't think anybody's ever had an experience that I haven't had a little something like it. I believe, brother, if you've ever had any kind of an experience out here with the flesh and the devil, I've had a little taste of some of the things that you've had. You know, it was a time in my life when I wasn't doing anything but just sort of preaching and just sort of hanging on and just sort of going along. As sometimes it got so disgusting that I didn't want to go to church no more. I decided, and you know, a lot of times when I'd get up to preach, I'd just give $1,000 if I had somebody to preach for me. And now, brother, I'd give $1,000 sometimes if they'd let me preach. And brother, it used to be hard sometimes when I was trying to keep from maybe doing what the Lord wanted me to do and sort of just going along. But now I want to tell you, brother, I rejoice, and I'm going so fast now. I don't know which way I'm going half the time, and I never have time to eat a whole full meal most of the time. And sometimes I go till I just flop down, and a lot of times I have to stop off somewhere extra before I get to the house and lay down. Maybe stop at the side of the road, lay down in the car, because my old body, it just giving away. But praise God, I want to tell you, it's still good. Oh, listen tonight, brother, I tell you, I can say with the Apostle Paul, I want to fill up that of the affliction of the suffering of our Savior. I want to be able to suffer for my Lord in any capacity, even though it may strain the body, and even though, my friend, it may cause me to go down into a grave at an early age. I still rather die, my neighbor, tonight, doing what I'm doing. I've got, as the preacher done and told you tonight, I've got two churches, one full-time and one sometimes, and I just get there sometimes. I don't call it a half-time church, because most time I ain't there half the time. I'm just there when I can be. And then I've got four radio stations I preach on every week, and then I've got the children's home. I'm the fellow that has to see that all the bread comes in, all the money comes in, have to hire all the labor, have to fire all the labor, and I got nine women working. Now I'll tell you, brother, when you live with one and work nine, you sure got a problem. And I want to tell you, brother, that's affliction within itself. And then I got all the other things, you know, that you have to put up with, and I've got those lungers over there, and you just barely get them in and get them all straightened out, get attached to them and get them saved and get them going for God, and then somebody come by and they'll jerk them out and pull them out and take them off, and it breaks your heart. Then you get other little fellas in, and that breaks your heart. I just stay broke up all the time, but I'm so glad. Praise God, I'll tell you tonight, brother, it's a joy to stay like that. I'm so glad. I don't know, brother, I'll tell you, my friend, tonight, I'm so glad that God counted me worthy and counted me in. Listen, brother, he could have put anybody else, he could have got anybody else. Oh, I tell you tonight, when I get to thinking about how good, oh, how good my Lord's been to me when I was a little old 15-year-old boy up in the hills of Tennessee, and without a father or mother, didn't have no place a lot of times. stay all night, slept in barns a lot of times and cried all night long. And I cried for God. I didn't know why I was crying, but I'd cry and say a lot of times to myself, I'd give anything to see my mother. And before I was saved, I used to try to pray. And I'd say, oh God, won't you let my mother come by? I just got to see her. Oh, but neighbor, listen, I went as high as 3 and 4 days at the time without having a bite of food in my stomach. But I didn't know why I was having to do all that. But God was getting me ready for the day in which I'm living now. I was getting educated and didn't know it. I didn't ever get to go to school much, but buddy, I want to tell you, I got into school and I got my diploma long before a lot of folks ever found it out. When God saved me, I was already ready for what I'm doing tonight. My friend trying to fill up the affliction of the body and that. But listen, neighbor, tonight, I'm not bragging on me. God could have bypassed me. But when I was 15 years old, working in the new ground one Thursday morning, about 9:30, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And at 11:45, I got saved down in a little old country church with all the clothes I had is on my back. And everything I had, my neighbor, I had it on. And my grandmother tried to keep me from going to church that day. But listen, neighbor, I'm glad, as Don and Earl said a while ago, if I hadn't had money, I couldn't have got saved. But I'm glad, my brother, I read in Isaiah chapter 55, "Oh, everyone that thirsts, come meet the water. Here they have no money coming by. Milk and wine without money and without price." I'm glad, praise God, that Jesus saved my soul. And then at the age of 17, he called me to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. I said, "God, I can't preach. You know, I couldn't even read the Bible. I had a little old Bible came from down at Cress's or Woolworth's or some of those stores. I got my hand that got it for me. Cost about $1.50, and I carried and cherished that Bible. And I was trying to learn to read, and God called me to preach. And my friend, I said, I love Jesus so good. I loved him day and night. I was up with him most of the time. But when he called me to preach, I couldn't. And I said, I'll not do it. I can't, Lord. I'll do anything else. I went all the way to Germany. I got knocked down 75 Germans right down in the field below me. One shell and a gun, and just me and the Lord and those Germans down there. And they hit me with a hand grenade and put 29 holes in my legs, one in my head, and knocked my gun out of my hand. And I crawled as far as I could, got to the end of my journey, and I reached up and found I had a handful of blood, and I saw my head was bleeding, and I surrendered then. I said, "Lord, if you let me go back home and see my family and see my friends, I'll preach anywhere." And brother, I tell you, God sent American troops in and picked me up, and I'm here tonight by the grace of God. Oh, listen, neighbor, I wasn't trying to get away from preaching because I didn't love God. I just didn't think I could. Still don't think I can, but I praise God I'm counted worthy. I'm glad he counted me in. And brother, listen, he not only called me to preach and fix me up so I could preach, but he's given me a ministry. For 19 years I've been going over the country preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know tonight, brother, I tell you, I've got more joy and more thrill, and I've got a greater zeal to fight the devil than I've ever had in my life. I told my church the other night, I told the church down where I was preaching last week in Kingsport, Tennessee, I said, "Friends, I'm going to fight for these boys and girls till the last drop of blood drops out of my body. I'm against everything looks like they're against my God. I'm against the communists and the Catholics or the rest of that gang, brother, that denies the Savior. I don't care who they are, brother. I'm against them, and I don't care for them, nor did I." And I pray God tonight he'll give me grace. Listen tonight, neighbor. God never saved you just to go to heaven or to keep you out of hell. But he said you're the salt of the earth. And you know what salt is? That, my friend, is something that keeps things from decaying wherever it's at. Salt, my friend, not only purifies, but salt keeps things pure. Not only that, but salt preserves. And tonight, you and I are the salt of the earth. I wonder what kind of a place you live in. Are you salty where you live? He said, if the salt's lost its savior, it's good for nothing. But neighbor, tonight, it'll only save us to be the salt of the earth. I read this verse of scripture here a while back where it said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the Holy Ghost hung me up like one of these tape recorders where you pause and stop. My brother, he stopped me there on that little word, see. And he said, let your light so shine that men may see. See. And brother, I tell you, the Holy Ghost likes to choke me to death. I said, Lord, let me go on. He said, you stay right there where I've got you. Boy, he showed me things I had never seen. He said, I want you to let them see what you're doing. Not hear what you're going to do. Let them see what you're already doing. Brother, listen, this world's going to hell tonight because they don't see nothing in us. Oh, they hear a lot about these Baptists talk all the time about what they're going to do. Ain't never got around to it. I've been the Baptist ever since I've been saved. I'm a missionary Baptist, and ever since I've been saved, I've been the Baptist church. But maybe they ain't never done nothing yet. They talked about if we get this and on, that program on, the other program over, and this and up, and this and down, we get this going, that going, if we can hire so-and-so, and if we get this and that and the other, and they talk for 19 years, 26 years I've been saved, and I've heard them talk for 26 years, and they ain't done nothing yet. And my friend, the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, none of the rest of them doing anything, and the devil's taking this country as fast as he can take it. He's taking it by leaps and bounds tonight. While we're talking, God wants us to get up and do something. He said, let your light so shine that they may see, not hear your good singing, not hear your shouting, not watch your climb poles all together, but see your good works. Now, I'm not against all that. That's God I like to shout too. But I believe you ought to work while this day and night's coming when no man can work. Amen. Brother, I believe it's on us too. Well, now I'm going to hurry back and get to my text. Filling up that which is behind. I wonder if you're trying to do that. You say, preacher, I'm all down now. I'll tell you how to get up and on. Brother, the old Paul said, I rejoice. He said, I, Paul, am made a minister who now rejoice. He said, I'm one of these preachers that can shout over my sickness. I'm a shouting over my suffering. He said, I'm a suffering, but I'm happy about it. I'm suffering, but I'm pleased about it. I'm suffering because I'm a filling up. I'm putting in where Jesus couldn't do. And you know, Jesus told us, he said, greater works can you do because I'm going back to my Father. Now, I'm not talking about this bunch that's heard on the radio today. I'm not talking about what they're doing in the Post magazine. Now, they're telling us we're having revival on the last day, but it ain't so. I'd like to stay over here and preach about a week on why we ain't going to have one, because the Bible said we wasn't going to have one. So I wouldn't have to stay a week. I can tell you what the Bible. You don't look for end-day revival. I heard a preacher today, and he's preaching on the Lord pouring out the Holy Ghost in the last day. Honey, he ain't going to do no such a thing. That to us. He's going to do that to Israel. He promised that in the book of Joel. And Peter said, this is that. But he didn't say this is all of that. And there is no such a thing as an end time revival. That is, it were in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Honey, what I'm looking for is destruction. What I'm looking for is your children to go communistic. I'm looking for that unless we have an old-fashioned stirring of God. Now, I'm not saying the tent meetings and individual churches can't have revival. Don't get me wrong. But it won't just make you talk in tongues. It might make you stand on your head. But I want to tell you, son, if we ever have revival, it'll not be like we've been having. You've seen this preacher get up here and spend about 20 good minutes of good time trying to get $200 out of a crowd like this. Honey, if you had revival or surrendered to God like you ought to be, you'd have got it down here before he ever got up here.
Amen.
I tell you, brother, I get so disgusted in some of these Baptist camp meetings where you have to spend 30 minutes of the Lord's good time trying to take up an offering, when if you was as happy and as real and as thrilled and as thrilled and as fixed as you think you are, you'd come a-running down here with it, just a-loping. Well, there ain't many amens back through there when it comes to them. It's the truth. I was over there in the camp meeting, and they took 30 minutes trying to get $100. And I got up there in the camp meeting in Blue Ridge, and I said, you ought to be ashamed. Anybody, and I had to drive 100 miles. The closest camp meeting to me is 100 miles. And I have to drive 100 miles to be in a camp meeting, and then you folks got a thing like this. If I had this in Tennessee, you know, I believe I'd give half my salary every Sunday to see it go on. Isn't that something? In fact, I'm about the notion of building the one over there. So whether anybody'd come or not. But you listen to me, brother and sister. You folks down here in this part of the Carolinas and some other parts of the Carolinas and some other parts of the country, you ought to be glad that you're not in some places I know of. In fact, you ought to be glad you're not right over there where I'm stuck down in Bristol. But I'm so glad I'm over there. Brother, I'll tell you, listen, I wouldn't want to go nowhere else. I think God wants me right there. And if he wants me there, I ought to do my best. Let my light shine there. That everybody in that country can see what I'm doing. Not what I'm talking about doing. Amen. And I want to tell you one thing before I go on further. If you ever intend to do anything, don't never tell nobody to get it done. Because the devil will mess your plans up. Here, a while back, I wanted to do something. And I got an old boy out. He's sort of a businessman. And you know, that's the meanest thing a man ever done. These preachers, I want to tell you preachers something. When you pull a businessman's coattail, try to get a little money out of them, to try to carry on a little something for God, you're insulting the Holy Ghost. And you're insulting God the Father and Jesus Christ. Don't you ever do that. You let them fellows go on. If they don't want to give nothing, just forget about it. But I just talked to him. I thought he'd hit me spiritually. Now, I wasn't after his money now. But I thought he'd hit me spiritually, and I told him what I was going to do. And you know, the next two or three weeks, I read in the newspaper where he's going to do it. And I just read between the lines. Oh, man. And it just sort of tore me up. There, I was supposed to do something. Now he's going to do it. I know why. Maybe he might do it. You see, and if he does it for what I think he's going to do it for, then the whole thing's knocked in the head, and I'm defeated. I wouldn't have told nobody, just go ahead and do it. But you know how us folks are. We got to have somebody to help us. Now the Apostle Paul says, but I'm rejoicing. I now rejoice. He must not have done that all the time, but he said, now I now rejoice, since I've been made a minister, the kind I am now. He said, I'm rejoicing in my suffering for you. Oh, that don't sound like most Baptist preachers I know. Well, when I have a breakdown, I don't rejoice in it. I just get over and whine about it and complain about it. And when some of these church members carry the load and they carry everybody's problems till after a while, they sink down. They don't ever go around saying, hallelujah, I sunk for old brother so-and-so. Bless God you can and still be happy about it.
Amen.
Oh, you say, preacher, I ain't going to do that for old so-and-so because I think they ought to. Yeah, I know it. I'm so glad you ain't my Savior. I sure am glad that a lot of you folks ain't my Savior. I'm glad, brother, that God ain't depending on you either to sort of lift me up.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us this week. Once again, we'd like to ask you to write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.